The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The wait is over and NFL training camp is here. Steelers and the Cowboys playing in this year's Hall of Fame game. They report to camp today on opposite ends of the country. The Cowboys are in Southern California, the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Plus, in just 50 days, the Buccaneers and the Cowboys will kick off the 2021 regular season in Tampa Bay. That is Thursday, September 9th. We are almost there. Welcome to NFL Live on this Wednesday. Dan Graziano here with Adam Schefter, Tim Hasselbeck. Ryan Clark's around here somewhere. We're looking for him. We'll round him up, and he will join us later. We're going to start with the Dallas Cowboys, one of two teams reporting to training camp today. They're out in Oxnard, California, where a cool breeze is blowing in off the Pacific Ocean, and we find our own Ed Werder. There he is. Hey, Ed. What's going on at the facility out there today,
sir?
In Oxnard?
Yeah, perfect weather conditions. Practice doesn't start till tomorrow, but the Cowboys did have their opening press conference, and we're all being, you know, forced to follow unique protocols. In fact, media members covering camp are forced to wear these tracking devices. They had to present vaccination records and a negative COVID test. And despite all that, with the chairs spaced out 6 feet apart for the media press conference today, Jerry Jones walked apart from Stephen Jones and Mike McCarthy as they came in and went over and shook hands with a bunch of different media people, myself not included, unfortunately. But it was interesting that during the actual event, Jones became emotional several times during that press conference. And once was the sheer result of the gratitude he has for the Cowboys returning here to Southern California for training camp. In fact, Jones said he could be anywhere in the world, but there's no other place he'd rather be at this time. While describing COVID protection as more difficult than ever, Jones said there are a number of players in the pipeline, he said, in terms of their vaccinations, and only a handful have not had at least one shot. He does not believe that the protocols in place or the team's vaccination rate will put the Cowboys at a competitive disadvantage.
We have, out of our 90 players here, we have a handful that, in my mind, have still to commit to this. A handful. A hand is five. And that's iffy, in that several of, in my mind, of that finger of five are on their way to potentially having their vaccine.
I was not particularly 100% on board with the vaccination, but through the relationships that we're fortunate to have in the medical community, you watched, you listen, and I think that same approach was given to our players. And to be able to watch the science, the numbers, and so forth. And then, you know, I made a conscious decision to get the vaccination.
Well, there were several interesting moments here today, and one of them reflected the different philosophies between Jones and his head coach. McCarthy said he nearly crashed the truck he was driving when Jones called to tell him the Cowboys training camp would be chronicled by the HBO show Hard Knocks. McCarthy then laughed and said once he got the vehicle back on the road that he was all in. But Dan, I think it reflects that Jones is arguably the best marketer in the entire sports world, and McCarthy, like most coaches, values secrecy to the point that, remember last year during the inter-squad game at Cowboys Stadium, he removed all the numbers from the Cowboys jersey. So perhaps Jerry won this argument because he's Jerry, or perhaps it was because McCarthy had very little leverage with the owner after a 6-10 first season in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm sure HBO is going to want those numbers on there once the cameras come on. Once they do, Ezekiel Elliott, one of the prominent players that we'll keep an eye on, coming off a really rough 2020, finished with the fewest rushing yards, fewest touchdowns, and most fumbles he's ever had in a season. Tough year for Zeke. Ed, what are the Cowboys expecting from him this year?
Yeah, following the worst season of his career, you know, Zeke Elliott, two-time rushing champion, dedicated himself to improving his conditioning with a private running backs coach, Josh Hicks, working regularly with him in Dallas to create an opportunity to be more productive. And I think, you know, having Dak Prescott and a healthy offensive line would certainly help as well. Whether he ever has a chance to contend for rushing titles under Mike McCarthy seems unlikely to me, but he can certainly be an invaluable part of a winning team.
Dallas finished third in the NFC East, going 6-10 and struggling with those injuries to Dak Prescott on the offensive line, as Ed just mentioned. Ed, thanks. We're going to have more from you later in the show. Back to Ezekiel Elliott, though. He averaged career lows last year in rushing yards per game and yards per rush. And in total, he had just 16 rushing yards above expectation, which ranked 33rd among the 51 running backs who had at least 100 carries. That is not Ezekiel Elliott level production. Adam, Zeke's buddy, Dak Prescott, the quarterback coming off a significant leg injury. What are you hearing about the Cowboys' plans for him as they start camp?
Dan, that was one of the big headlines that came out of today's press conferences with Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, the fact that Dak Prescott is ready for training camp and basically cleared for football activities, will be ready to go, will be out there, will be practicing after that grisly injury that he suffered last year, did sign the big contract, he underwent the right ankle surgery in October, but is healthy. And he will be out there during training camp, taking his regular reps, going through drills, and that is a very encouraging sign for a Dallas team looking back to bounce back from the 6-10 season that, as Edward alluded, compromised some of Mike McCarthy's leverage in terms of the Cowboys being on Hard Knocks.
No doubt about that. Tim, when you look at this Cowboys team, obviously the quarterback, Dak Prescott, signs the big contract, always pressure on him. Who do you think is under the most pressure in that building in Dallas?
I think it's Mike McCarthy. And I'm not saying Mike McCarthy is in danger of losing his job, but, you know, Ed Werder, you know, referred to the season a year ago. Adam just mentioned it. And when we look back at his overall coaching record as a head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, people aren't going to say, oh, but Dak was injured that one year. Or, oh, they have the distraction of Hard Knocks the next year. Or, hey, we're going through a pandemic. No one cares about that stuff when they evaluate a coach. And when you think about why Mike McCarthy is in Dallas, it's because Jason Garrett, even though he won more games than he lost as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, he didn't get them to where they ultimately want to be, which is as Super Bowl champs. And so I think that you go and hire a Super Bowl winning coach so that you aren't 9-7 or 8-8 or 13-3 even and then get bumped out of the postseason. He's there because they expect to win a Super Bowl. And so I think the pressure is on him because there are many pieces on the offensive side, at least, that are in place for him to have success.
Well, Tim, guess what? If they have a down season, one of the Joneses is not going to go fire another Jones. They've already fired the defensive coordinator in Mike Nolan and replaced him with Dan Quinn. So now the pressure will be on somebody else. And for years, how many years did we go through this where we were wondering about Jason Garrett's future? And it's amazing to me that we're 1 year into the tenure of Mike McCarthy in Dallas, and it already feels like it's going in the same direction as Jason Garrett. Will there be constant attention, constant scrutiny, constant speculation about the head coach? But that's what happens in this league. Really, in any city where there's not consistent winning, especially in a city where the family runs the organization, and especially with a team that's under as much scrutiny as America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and Adam, that's why I think the fact that he's on his second defensive coordinator, Mike McCarthy is on his second defensive coordinator in just two seasons. Like, if it works with Dan Quinn, then that's great. That's part of the evaluation of Mike McCarthy. But if the defense struggles the way they did a year ago, which was epically bad, if that happens again, then the pressure is not going to fall back on Dan Quinn. It's going to go right back to Mike McCarthy. So I think how that side of the ball plays, which is really going to be the responsibility of Dan Quinn and those players, is still going to be in Mike McCarthy's lap.
Well, we're going to all get to find out starting pretty soon. As we mentioned, only 50 days now until the Cowboys open the regular season in Tampa against the defending Super Bowl champion. So with players getting back on the field, this is also the time of year when some veteran players get contract extensions. Earlier today, the San Francisco 49ers locked in a key part of their defense. Adam, fill us in on that.
Dan, Fred Warner, a player some consider the best linebacker in all of football, agreed to a 5-year, $90 million extension with the 49ers. You see the guaranteed money, $40.5 million. It's a $95 million extension. The agent, Justin Shulman, the 49ers, worked on this deal the last few weeks. They exchanged proposals. They got the deal done this morning. You see the guaranteed money on the contract and how it compares to some of the other great players in the league. A big big-time contract for a big-time player. And one of the reasons that the 49ers awarded Fred Warner, who was a former third-round draft pick, headed into the last year of his contract, is they believe he embodies everything they are looking for in a player on and off the field. On the field, he's exactly what you want, arguably the best linebacker in all of football. And off the field, he's a model of what the 49ers are looking for, exactly the type of representative that they want in San Francisco, thus the long-term deal that Justin Shulman and the 49ers banged out today.
The 49ers haven't been shy about signing cornerstone players over the past year. We've seen big deals for tight end George Kittle, offensive tackle Trent Williams, and now Fred Warner.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Which of the NFL's new head coaches is walking into the best spot? Well, how about Brandon Staley, who takes over the Chargers and inherits Offensive Rookie of the Year Justin Herbert? During his first season, Herbert broke almost every rookie passing record, including passing touchdowns and most completions. Now he looks to continue that success going into year two. Can he keep it up? Laura Rutledge crunched the numbers for us.
Last season, Justin Herbert took the league by storm, throwing a rookie record 31 touchdowns. He'll look to carry that success into year two and could join Hall of Famer Dan Marino as the only quarterbacks in NFL history with 60-plus touchdowns through their first two seasons.
Herbert is being chased, thrown on the run, touchdown!
Herbert's rookie success came despite playing behind one of the worst offensive lines in football. The Chargers ranked 31st in pass block win rate last season. That could change after LA signed three new projected starters in free agency and used their first-round pick on Northwestern offensive tackle Rashawn Slater. There's also room for improvement late in games.
Herbert goes to the end zone, caught, touchdown, Chargers!
While Herbert had an overall touchdown-to-interception ratio of 27-6 in the first three quarters, those numbers dropped to four touchdowns and four interceptions in the fourth quarter and overtime last year.
And so, Tim, how impressed were you with what you saw from Justin Herbert as a rookie?
Well, you know, Dan, last year we were talking about how we had this bizarre offseason. And so the biggest challenge was going to be for rookie quarterbacks. And I feel like, you know, because of the Joe Burrow injury, I think everyone understands that situation in Cincinnati. There was a lot of attention on Tua and kind of the back and forth with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But let's just take a look at what Justin Herbert did. I mean, he was rookie of the year for a reason. And think about the situation he was thrown into. He basically thought he was going to start the year as a backup. And because of a freak injury to Tyrod Taylor where he gets a punctured lung, you know, Justin Herbert goes from being the backup to starting the entire season and then essentially, you know, playing as well as any rookie has played in many respects. So I think the sky is the limit for him as a player. Physically, he's as talented as the most talented guys that are in the league right now. And that means guys like Josh Allen or guys like Patrick Mahomes. He is physically that talented. And so I think as he plays more in a system that he becomes more familiar with, he's just going to get better and better. Mm.
And Tim, just as we were talking about Fred Warner being the type of guy that the 49ers wanted to reward, when you talk to people within the Chargers organization, they say it's not just the talent that stands out about Justin Herbert, it's the intangibles, the way he approaches the game, his maturity level, his intelligence. Everything about him stands out and shines. And when they watched this guy in training camp last summer, they could see that he had star potential written all over him. It's all there in front of him. And to think that him and Patrick Mahomes are in the same division, he's somebody that can actually rival and play with Patrick Mahomes over time. There aren't many quarterbacks in the league that could do that. Justin Herbert is good enough to hold his own and give this team a chance for the next decade plus that it will have to go up against Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert is one of the great young stars in the NFL.
And Adam, I think one of the interesting things about that note you just had there about how they feel about him as a leader in terms of, you know, the stuff off the field. When you think about some of the criticism of him coming out, it was, does he have the personality? Is he too quiet? Can he command a huddle? Can he be a leader in a locker room? Those were a lot of the things that people were wondering if you were going to get that out of Herbert. Was he just a big athletic guy that was dominating at the college level? Or is he somebody that has the presence that you need to be a star at the quarterback position? And it's clear he's already having that impact.
Last season, he recorded the third best QBR by a rookie quarterback in the last 15 years behind a couple of guys named Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson, who are now very wealthy. He, of course, has a new coaching staff this year, and that got us thinking about some of the other new coaching staffs around the league and ones we're watching, including Robert Saleh with the Jets. Tim, Saleh comes over from the 49ers. He was defensive coordinator. How do you think he's going to do in New York?
I think he's going to bring a positive change there. I think their talent has gotten better over the past few years, and I think the way he's grown as a coach, the head coaches he's been around, from guys like Gary Kubiak or Kyle Shanahan or Pete Carroll, the relationship business of being a head coach, I think he'll excel at that, and I think the team will be better for it.
Saleh's first shot at being a head coach in Detroit, Dan Campbell, is getting his second. Remember, he was interim head coach in Miami some years back. Obviously, Campbell, a guy that's charged with changing just about everything about the culture in Detroit, and anybody who's ever listened to one of Dan Campbell's news conferences knows he's a guy that's not shy about putting his stamp on things.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Pittsburgh Steelers aren't going away for training camp this year. They're having it at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh instead. I think that means Steelers coach Mike Tomlin is not excited to get going. You could not be more wrong. Take a listen.
Man, I love what I do. I love the misery, you know, what people might perceive to be misery. Nobody loves camp like the way we love camp. You know what I mean? We pour all of our energy into the experience of the men that we work with that play the game. You got to find a way to take all the things that you learn, but make sure that you don't lose your voice in it. I think that's probably the most significant lesson that I learned from being around Coach Dungy, to be quite honest with you. I was around him, and it didn't take very long before I realized that, man, I can't do it like him. You know? Yeah, I can glean information from him. I can gain perspective from him. But I better not try to do it like him.
Well, doing it his own way has worked out pretty well for Mike Tomlin so far. 14 seasons as an NFL head coach and not a single one with a losing record. That is tied with Marty Schottenheimer for the longest such streak by a head coach to start his career in the history of the NFL. And thankfully, we are joined now by Ryan Clark, former Pittsburgh Steeler who knows Mike Tomlin well from having played for him. Ryan showing up just in time to talk about his former coach. You played for him for 9 years. What comes to mind when you hear him talk about camp and misery?
Actual misery. And that's the cool part. You know, I think me and Coach Tomlin were probably two of the only people in the world that ever shared in the fact that we love training camp. I would go to training camp without a TV, and he would love to see me when I showed up because he know we both felt the same way about the process. This is the process of getting your team hardened. This is the process of putting your team in a place to where they share the same exact mindset as you do. And guys, trust me, when you went away to camp, it was actually fun. I mean, it was no kids there. You didn't have to worry about significant others. All you could do and all you had to do was focus on football. And I believe Mike Tomlin loves that. He relishes in that. And he knows that's important for his team this year. This could be the first year of a losing season. This could be the most adversity this team, the most doubt this team has faced entering a season since Coach Tomlin took over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so I'm excited to see the way he gets this team ready and the way he leans on the Minkah Fitzpatricks, the TJ Watts, the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Juju Smith-Schusters to make sure this team is prepared for what's at hand in 2021. Because there is no 500. Unless they're going to go 8-8-1, they're going to have a losing season or a winning season. And I know Coach Tomlin plans to be on the winning side of that.
Well, Ryan, you talk about his approach. I think that's why so much of this talk right now about, you know, the Steelers kind of being done and having to move on from Ben, I think it's just a little premature. I mean, you talk about, we had the graphic up about consecutive winning seasons. Remember, you know, he did that one year or without a losing record. He did that one year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges as his quarterback. He's,
right.
He's dealt with
right.
all kinds of adversity. And I think right. that even while we all are going to acknowledge that the division has certainly gotten more competitive, you know, recently, look, I'm going to be late to the party that says Pittsburgh's done. When you think about the job Kevin Colbert's done in the front office in terms of how they've drafted and how they've signed, you know, veteran free agents, the job that Mike Tomlin has done as a head coach, the job that Ben Roethlisberger did throwing 33 touchdowns and 10 picks coming off of a big elbow surgery. Like, I'm going to believe in that team. And so, you know, I think this idea that they're done or not going to be competitive is premature. And I just want to add one other thing. I think last year when the Titans had a COVID outbreak and it changed Pittsburgh's bye week, I think that yeah. had a lot to do with the collapse at the end of the season. So I think there are a number of factors why they didn't finish as well as they started.
And I think we've got an issue here with Ben Roethlisberger where he looks like somebody who has rededicated himself. There were pictures of him today on social media where he looked thin and trim and ready for football. He knows that he's near the end of his career. Look, if we go back to his draft class, Eli Manning, retired. Philip Rivers, retired. Ben Roethlisberger is the last man standing from that draft class. So his time is essentially on the clock. Take a look at how thin and buffed Ben Roethlisberger looks there. He almost looks like Ryan Clark. Very impressive that the Steelers reporting to camp today that Ben Roethlisberger looks the way he does. Hey, Ryan, look, you've played with Ben, right? He was your teammate, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, have you seen him look that thin reporting to camp before?
Absolutely not. This is Miami of Ohio size Ben Roethlisberger. And I think when you look at a guy like Tom Brady, who to me looks better than he did when he was drafted, Ben Roethlisberger has stolen a page out of his book. He understands you need to be healthy, not only externally, but internally. And he seems to be moving that way. And if Ben can have a year where not just the numbers look like they looked last year, but we can see some of the production downfield to the Claypools and the Smith-Schusters and the Johnsons, then this team can compete, especially if Najee Harris does what the Steelers and Kevin Colbert, the GM, believes he'll do with the run game.
I'm not sure when Ben Roethlisberger took to TB12, but he certainly looks like he did something during the offseason to change his diet and come in leaner, fitter, and trimmer. So I guess Ben's on the TB12 plan right now.
We'll see about that, of course. The Steelers did make a move in the last few days. They signed pass rusher Melvin Ingram, free agent who had still been out there, veteran. RC, what do you think that does for them?
You know, this is a very Steeler-like move. Get a guy who's used to playing the position he'll play in Pittsburgh, a dude who's a veteran leader who wants to win, who wants to be in a place that prioritizes winning games and winning championships. And I think Melvin Ingram is going to add to what this defense is because he doesn't have to be the dude. TJ Watt is the guy on the other side. He'll be singled up, much like he was with Joey Bosa opposite him in Los Angeles. And I think he can be someone that adds to this team and allows them to get a little bit over the hump defensively when you lose a guy like Bud Dupree to the Tennessee Titans.
Obviously, a lot of pressure on that Steelers defense if the offense has as many question marks as some seem to think it does. You know, you guys were talking a little while ago about being healthy on the inside. This is a picture of Derek Watt reporting to Steelers camp today with his own homemade meal. And Aditi Kinkabwala, reporter with NFL Network, said this reminded her of when Ryan Clark used to pack himself special meals in mason jars. So, Ryan Clark, what was your go-to mason jar meal in training camp?
Well, if it was a mason jar, it was actually salad. Dan, and I used to bring protein shakes, coconut water, and all those things to practice. And I would sit on top of my cooler at practice and wait until practice was over so I could hydrate and drink those things. I told you, Dan, I was a freak about training camp. I enjoyed it. I loved every bit of it. And it was all a process to me. And I see the Watt brothers understand this as well.
Yeah, mason jars or Tupperware, whatever it takes to get you your meal there for training camp. Team that the Steelers are playing in the Hall of Fame game is the Dallas Cowboys. We mentioned them earlier. They reported for camp today out in Oxnard, California, where the Cowboys go, Ed Werder goes. So let's get Ed back in here for a little bit more from Cowboys camp. Ed, what are you hearing about Dak Prescott's availability for training camp coming off that ankle surgery?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, you know, Dan, Dak Prescott is healthy physically and financially. Head coach Mike McCarthy said the quarterback limited to 5 games because of a fractured right leg and dislocated ankle in 2020 is expected to be a full participant here at training camp. It's the first serious injury of Prescott's career, but it didn't prevent him from signing a $160 million contract in the offseason. Throughout this offseason, Prescott seemed comfortable moving, throwing on the run, extending plays, but that was without defensive linemen on the field. The Cowboys wanted to prevent players from accidentally falling into him. That restriction will soon be eliminated, as McCarthy says he wants Prescott to return to playing football. McCarthy says Prescott will participate fully in team drills here, which begin tomorrow.
We got a little more for you, including this. ESPN's Bill Barnwell, he had the tough task of ranking all 32 teams' skill position talent. This does not include quarterbacks, please understand, from worst to best. This is available now on ESPN+. We got part of the list here for you, and as you take a look, a couple of important things to note. Again, quarterbacks are not included, and wide receivers are weighted more heavily than running backs or tight ends. So you see the Buccaneers there at the top. They were 14th just 2 years ago, so big jump for the Super Bowl champs. Dallas Cowboys number 2, followed by the Titans, Browns, Vikings, the Chiefs all the way down at number 6. Also want to note that the Rams are number 10, but that list was made before yesterday's season-ending injury news about running back Cam Akers. But anyway, Ryan, I wanted to go back to the Chiefs sitting there at number 6. What did you think when you saw that?
I mean, I think here's what's confusing. I love the fact that you prefaced this by saying tight ends weren't weighed as heavily as wide receivers. But what if your tight end is better than pretty much every wide receiver in the league? What if your tight end's name is Travis, and now we know it's Travis Kelce, not Kelce? Like, what if it's that dude? And what if the other guy is Tyreek Hill? So you mean to tell me you have 2 top 5 receivers, and then you have Mecole Hardman, who's a 4-3 guy, then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who'll be going into his second year as your starting running back? I just think it's really hard to say that this team could be behind 5 other teams in the National Football League. And when you talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they didn't change much. They mostly added backups to a team that was rated 14th last year. So to me, this is mind-boggling. This is head-scratching. But maybe this way, when we add the quarterbacks, we could bump them up to number 1 and just say, you know what, when you put them together as a whole, they're number 1. Because having them number 6, that's a little head-scratching.
That's funny. You got to exempt the quarterbacks now in order to make these lists fair, or else the Chiefs always end up on top of whichever one it is. So, Tim, RC obviously thinks the Chiefs should have been in the top 5. Do you have a team that you looked at and said you thought they should have been in the top 10?
I do, dude. I'm going to take a quick detour here. I love this so much. I love RC's reaction so much because he played safety, which means he has to cover tight ends. So, Dan, when he heard you say tight ends aren't weighted the same as wide receivers, I promise you, RC was like, oh, wait a second. What just happened here? Like, I'm supposed to, like, run down and tackle a running back at the line of scrimmage, be able to hit that guy. But, oh, I have to run with, like, the 6'5" tight end that's got receiver-type moves.
He can really go.
Like, hold on a second. Hey, that is the biggest matchup issue in the NFL right now is with tight ends. So even though they're not weighted the same, RC, I'm going to feel your pain there. But Dan, to answer your question and give you another team, how about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, I feel like we're on this, like this parade of, like, Pittsburgh isn't good. I get it, Juju didn't prove to be a number 1, but they did add Chase Claypool, and my goodness, Look what he did in his first year. Eric Ebron, by the way, had, you know, a tight end that Ryan would probably tell you is not easy to cover. He had 13 touchdown receptions not long ago in Indianapolis. And, oh, they added Najee Harris. So I look at them as a team that's basically, you know, middle of the pack. And I think, man, why really Carolina's that much better? Or how about the Arizona Cardinals, who are all the way back at 18, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. They get Max Williams from Baltimore, you know, not long ago. I don't know. I don't know that I would agree with some of these rankings.
Well, again, if anybody's looking for an explanation, Barnwell's got them on ESPN+. Plus. The NBA crowned a champion last night, and it was the Milwaukee Bucks, whose ownership group, by the way, includes Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, someone we have somehow not talked about yet on the show today. Giannis Antetokounmpo delivered a performance for the ages. He scored 50 points in the clinching game and was named NBA Finals MVP in one of the easiest elections of all time. We are, of course, a football show, so let's bring this around to football. Tim, Super Bowl performances all time. What's your favorite?
I'm telling you what. First thing I think about is Phil Simms and the ball barely touching the ground in Super Bowl 21. I think it was 20 or 25. Threw three touchdowns. He was so good. And then, Dan, I think I might be wrong on this. That's the first time I remember somebody saying, I'm going to Disney World after winning the Super Bowl. So that one, to me, for whatever reason, has just always stuck with me.
And listen, and mine is going to be Doug Williams the next year. 18 of 29, 340 yards. This was a Louisiana ball. I still had my Doug Williams camp T-shirt that my dad would always bring me to the camp, and I'd get my picture with Doug Williams. So to see him, the first black quarterback to win one, to do it in such amazing fashion, having that great second quarter, Doug Williams would be my pick.
So the thing those two games have in common is that John Elway was the losing quarterback in both of them. So just in case John is watching, I want to highlight Super Bowl he did win. Remember, he won them in his last 2 years in the league. This was the first one, beating the Green Bay Packers, this famous helicopter spin as he was flying through the air in an effort to score. And I think we have somebody on the show today who might have a memory or two of that game. Adam?
Dan, I was in the press box at that game, and what I remember distinctly about that game and that team that I covered for almost 16 seasons was that very infrequently, maybe there were two times in my entire 16 years, did I actually stand up at a play and go, oh my God. One was when Jason Elam kicked a 63-yard field goal against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the other was on this play where John Elway did the whirly bird, which essentially meant he was giving up his body for Denver to win its first ever Super Bowl title, and that's exactly what happened. I remember standing up in the press box, couldn't believe that this old man threw himself around, did a helicopter, went whirly bird, did whatever he had to, gave up his body. It was incredible.
Well, certainly by that point, the Broncos had surrounded Elway with a ton of talent, and that paid off. 50 days until the start of the NFL's regular season, which will see the defending champion Buccaneers hosting the Cowboys on Thursday night, November 9th. 50 days doesn't sound like a lot. Still a lot of things for teams to sort out over that time. So, Adam Schefter, you look ahead to training camp and the 50 days that'll transpire between now and the start of the regular season. Give me three storylines you're watching and count them down for me, will you, from 3 to 1.
Well, Dan, let's start at number 3, and let's start with the aforementioned Denver Broncos and the quarterback battle that they will have at camp this summer. Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, while they monitor Deshaun Watson, while they monitor Aaron Rodgers, while they do whatever. But this is one of the teams that's out there that truly has an undecided quarterback situation. They don't know who will wind up starting on opening day. There aren't many of those situations in the league. Denver has one. The number 2 storyline going into training camp has to be the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. Does Deshaun Watson show up for training camp next week? Do the Houston Texans excuse him? How does this play out? Do the Texans trade him? I think a lot of people around the league don't believe that Watson will wind up playing again for the Houston Texans. How do the Texans handle that? And what do they do going forward? And what does Watson do? big question going to camp, but the number one question going to training camp undoubtedly is the Milwaukee Bucks minority owner and NBA champion Aaron Rodgers, and whether or not he shows up to training camp, how he approaches this summer, how he feels about this team for the upcoming season. There are all sorts of issues. You follow the breadcrumbs, he turned down the contract extension. They haven't been able to make progress in the in-person meetings. We'll see ultimately what Aaron Rodgers decides to do this summer, but that has to be the number one storyline going into training camps.
You mentioned wondering how he feels about that team. We don't have to wonder how he feels about that basketball team of which he's a part owner. Tweeted this after they won the championship last night. Incredible job by Wes and Mark. Peter, John Horst, our GM, made some incredible moves and our stars played like stars. Can't stop 34. Hashtag champs. Brian Clark, is it just me? Or do you think that Aaron Rodgers tweeting compliments to the Milwaukee Bucks front office is him throwing shade at the Packers front office? Is that just me, or are you with me there?
The sun is shining. I needed some shade, and I thank Aaron Rodgers for providing it. You know what Aaron Rodgers is doing? Aaron Rodgers is sitting at the table with his significant other being like, man, Giannis sure looks happy with those trophies, huh? Did you see that Jrue Holiday they got for Giannis? How about that Brooke Lopez they gave him? You know, what about the P.J. Tucker that they got from Houston? All those things seem really nice. You see those two trophies he's holding? He looks really happy when he's ordering that 50-piece nuggets from Chick-fil-A today. Absolutely, he's throwing shade. And to call people out by name, you know what name he didn't say? Brian, as in GM Brian Gutekunst, because Brian ain't somebody he likes. But he made sure he named everybody. And then when he named the GM, he said, our GM. He's letting you know that I see you, Milwaukee. I see you doing the right things for your star. You should look at what they do for their star, Brian, because clearly you ain't doing the right things, Brian, to keep me there. And that's why I don't want your little funky contract, because it's about my feelings. And since my feelings are involved, Brian, I don't have no logic. I don't have no rationale. I'm rich, my fiance rich, and I'm finna be out of here, Ryan, and go get your 50-piece tux. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot to add to that. Tim, we're 6 days away from Packers reporting to camp. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers will be there?
I do. I look like I'm crying because I'm
after
laughing at Ryan saying, Brian. Listen, I mean, listen, Green Bay's best situation is with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. Aaron's best situation to win a Super Bowl is to go back to Green Bay. His chance to end up somewhere else was prior to the draft. That has come and gone. And so do I think that'll show up? I do. Do I think that he will make life miserable for the people that he is angry with in Green Bay? Yeah, I think he'll do that too. But he's played at such a high level. I think he realizes that, like, no matter how mad he is, and Ryan Clark's been right about this, it's personal. No matter how mad he is, there's still things he wants to accomplish for himself, which is why I think he ends up back in Green Bay.
Tim, accomplish for himself? Like what?
Another Super Bowl, Adam.
Well, hold on.
Win the MVP?
Hold on. If he goes to Green Bay and wins a Super Bowl, that means that there might be somebody out there tweeting, what a great job Mr. Murphy did. What a great job Mr. Gutekunst did.
Sure.
Okay.
Exactly. And listen, anybody with a brain is going to go, look at what a great job Aaron Rodgers did.
But see, that's the thing, Tim.
Yeah.
Listen, guys. Ryan. Y'all know how it is. When someone is scorned in a relationship, right? It's not about that they want to see themselves do well. They just want to see the other person do bad. It's not like, hey, let's go do great things together. And if I go do great things, then I get all that. No, he doesn't want them to get any credit. And he feels like if he goes there, he plays well, they win the Super Bowl. Now they get to sit around and say, we did the right things. Aaron don't want that. Brian, not happening.
So we're going to all find out together next week when the Packers report and see whether Aaron is there. But we have time today for one more thing. And oddly enough, it's about quarterbacks being annoyed with front offices. Tom Brady, in a town hall with Jim Gray airing tonight on SiriusXM, he talked about his mindset during last year's free agency, and it's clear he still thinks the teams that weren't interested made a big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance at Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing.
I love this Tom Brady, y'all. I'm so happy he's not in New England and he has to play the humble, modest 199th pick role. I'm so glad that he is salty and he is mean and he is surly and he is goatish and he is telling people how he feels, and he is right. If you had a chance to get Mike,
we're done
you
on
take
NFL
Mike.
Live.
They even took Mike.
RC's going to keep talking.
Keep preaching.
Until tomorrow.
And then you preaching, Ryan. Keep preaching, Ryan. You take Ryan. The